Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Benjamin Seschel. How are you, Benjamin?
Hi, Chris. I'm really well, and pleased to be there, and we'll go through all those, the tasting.
Okay. What we're going to do is, as you said, is we're going to do a vertical tasting, Château Anglais wines from 2011 all the way down to 2005, and hopefully get a feel for what Margaux has to offer, and maybe get an understanding of how you get different vintage variations and how that may express itself. Also, some 2011, quite a young wine. 2005, maybe just starting to hit its stride from a great vintage, hopefully. So which one do you think we should start off with?
Well, I think best way to do it is probably to start from the 11 down to 5.
Yep.
Because really what I would like to show, we will see variation between the vintages, of course, but it's also the developing of the wine through the aging. I mean, these wines do have that potential mm-hmm. of showing different complexity through the aging. And so it'll be, yes, interesting to do it that way.
Okay, so the first wine, 2011, Château Anglais Margaux, quite a deep color, deep ruby color.
11 came up after 9 and 10, which are known as a big years. 11 was a little bit more difficult, and when I say a little bit more difficult, that because of the weather, a bit more rainy. And 11 came up with spring, really dry and hot spring, which disturbed a bit, and we lost some of the Cabernet Sauvignon by grapes burnt in June, which is never happened before. Anyway, then we started very dry, and then in July it started to rain again. We were pleased to have the first rain in July, but then it stayed a bit too wet probably in August, which affected probably the concentration of the Merlot at the picking. But I am very pleased with the final result, and because what is important in these wines, we can have more or less big years, but every year can be very much appreciated. Every year can be pleasant if they're done by respecting the balance, and having the right balance every year is very important for me.
See, on the nose, I'm getting sort of blackberry, bit of blackcurrant, but clove as well, sort of the noses. What are you getting?
I'm not very good at
description
at describing the aromas.
I need to get a marketing guy in here. He'll rattle off everything.
No, I'm more. I like talking about the structures and the balance of the wines. And I'm not very good at describing aromas. I'm sorry.
No. I tell you what, there's a lot of BS in aromas sometimes. So
yeah.
Okay, let's have a wee glug of it then. For such a young wine, the tannin structure's fine. I mean, I was expecting it to be a bit more aggressive.
Yeah.
There's firm tannins, but it's, you know, they taste reasonably ripe. There's no problems there.
Exactly.
And they're fairly fine-grained as well.
Exactly. I mean, it's part of my satisfaction of 11 is having that right balance. Sometimes I have people here and customers tasting with me, and if the wine that young, if they taste it like that, very smooth and elegant, they think the wine is ready for drinking, and they think they have to drink it, otherwise it'll pass away. And that is not the case. I mean, we're more today making the wine, we're more careful of that balance at the beginning, not having too much tannins overpowering the structure. But that doesn't cut off the potential of the wine of developing through the aging. What gives that ability is the concentration of the wine, and not just the heavy tannins.
Yeah, the acidity is, I mean, you don't notice it, but, you know, I can feel my mouth salivating up with the acidity. So it is sort of that medium plus to high acidity.
Yes, it's part of the 11 is part of the, I would put it on the classic range of the vintages.
Be careful here, mate. Just straight up and down. I've always seen people rank Bordeaux wines from classic or good through to excellent. No. It starts out at average and goes up from there. But from my understanding is you can't have average without having something below average.
For me, in this range here, 11 and 6 are for me part of the classic. Then 7 is below the classic, but that doesn't mean it less good. It just means it's a bit lower in terms of concentration. And then we have, 9, 10, and 5, which are plus.
And the mouth, I was getting a wee bit more chocolate coming through on the mouth, which is a wee bit unusual. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I see that.
And the length is quite good as well.
And the length here, just to illustrate here, the petit verre d'eau, which certainly gives that spark of fruitiness in the structure. Petit verre d'eau has naturally some spiciness to its aromas. And having just around 10-12%, it gives a nice, that spark in the aromas and the density of the structure. Makes it big structure, but not heavy.
Yeah. No, the wine doesn't feel heavy. It feels, sort of medium body, medium plus body, which is, I think the acidity is holding back the body from being too high.
It's also, I mean, the balance of the structure and this and acidity, we will have in terms of blends of different varieties, where through all those varieties will be very close from a year to another, and it's average between around 50% in these blends here, close to 50% Cabernet Sauvignon, 40% Merlot, and 10% Petit Verre d'eau. So it's sometimes 38 Merlot and 12 Petit Verre d'eau. But roughly the big difference we'll have there is really the years different and the effect of the weather, the climate, to the year.
2010s. On the nose on this one, I'm getting more of that, a bit more blackberry, a bit more darker fruits. There seems to be a bit more vanilla in this wine as well. Did you give it a wee bit more oak in the 2010s?
Not more oak.
A bit more floral as well.
Where in terms of oak, we never use a lot of oak here at Angoudet. We, according to the year, to the concentration of the year, we'll have between 30-35% of new barrels every year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. On the mouth, you've obviously extracted a bit more tannins from this wine. The tannin structure is a bit fuller, a bit richer. The tannins are a bit more drying.
Yeah, I mean, the quality of the grapes, we have that balance on the structure, and the year is more concentrated, definitely more. 2010 has more concentration than 11.
In 2011, because you were a bit worried about dilution, did you extract less from the skins? Because it feels like the 2010 has more extraction, particularly in the tannins.
Yes, yes, yeah. And that's usually what happens is big years, we want to express the year potential. So in big years, when we have that concentration, we get it in the wine because we'll have that potential of developing. As soon as the year becomes more difficult, then we're a lot more careful in the extractions, of course, yeah.
2010, the alcohol actually feels a bit warmer in that than the 2011 for me, but they're both bang on 13.5%, which is interesting.
Yeah, I think what makes that effect is not only the alcohol level, it's...
Fruit?
No. I was going on the structure again, on the structure. I'm all explaining about the wines about around the structure of the wines.
Yeah.
But it's all depending on that sensation of warm will come more from the tannins, the structure, than just the alcohol level.
Mm. I always find if the wine's got more tannins, more acidity, you often find that the perception of alcohol goes up as well, and that tends to suppress the fruit a wee bit.
Yeah, especially if they're overripe. There's a peak of ripeness which makes the right balance. Mm-hmm. And because usually we say a wine which has a high alcohol level will have that hot sensation, warm sensation. Of course, yes, it's usually because a wine which is 14 or 14.5 alcohol level has ripened for a long time and got to that point in hot conditions and probably went too far in the ripening of the tannin.
Okay.
So it's not only the level of alcohol which gives that sensation, it's also the quality of the tannins.
Yeah. The I mean, it's not burning or anything like that. I just noticed it as warmer than the last wine.
Yeah.
So 2010 considered a good vintage and maybe a bit young to drink?
Yes, problem with big vintages is that you need to keep them, give them the time to express that potential. And 2000, and 10 is, of course, too young to drink today. It's a pity to drink it too young because it has a lot of potential of showing our terroir expression, but the problem is that it takes time.
Yeah, so it's 2014 now, so it's only 4 years old.
Yeah. And usually Angoudet needs between 8 to 10 years to express at the right level its potential, its terroir potential. That is, for me, almost a minimum. Then it go on through the aging, depending on the concentration of the wine, but it can go on for another 20 or 30 years. That 8 to 10 years is usually the minimum time it needs to open up and show its real identity.
So the next one's the 2009, I'm just about to have a glug of. I thought it had a bit more blackcurrant fruit in this one. This is the first time it's got a bit more blackcurrant, a bit more of that cloviness as well. The 2010 didn't seem to have any of that cloviness and a bit less blackcurrant. So I'm thinking maybe it's just a wee bit closed at the moment.
Oh, 09 is another, it's another big year. I mean, the big difference between 09 and 10 is certainly the temperatures and the heat through the year, which makes that 9 has been ripening in hotter conditions than 10. Mm-hmm. And makes the different aromas and structure also different. 9 has naturally tannins, which are not lighter, but in a way smoother
than
10.
More fine-grained. The tannins in 09 are definitely more fine-grained than 10.
Tannins,
I wouldn't say it's aggressive tannins, but that, you know, you get them in there, and that's what I think of, you know, Bordeaux with those crunchy tannins.
You're right. Absolutely. They're more classic tannins that we usually have here in the area. I remember going through the vinification in 09. I was tasting, because, you know, after tasting the grapes before picking, we quickly want to taste the wine through the fermentation to see if we're expecting is coming up. And I was really disturbed because I couldn't feel hardly anything in the structure. I realized later on that, through the macerations, that the density was there, the concentration was there. It's just that the tannins were different, that smoother tannins.
Did you say 09 was cooler or warmer than 10?
No, 09 is hotter.
Hotter, okay. So maybe the tannins are a wee bit riper.
Yeah, perhaps. It's just that they ripen in different conditions. Yeah, hot and 09 reminds me a little bit of the structure of the 90s. With more concentration in 09 than we had in 90, but that smoothness in the tannins, which comes up not only with hot temperatures, but also the combination of hot temperatures, more stress by the vine in terms of water, of humidity. We could see by 09 that if the stress was too heavier than that, then we could have probably gone into an unbalanced wine having tannins overpowering the structure of the wine.
Okay. Let's have a look at
07.
Yeah, so what have we got here? We've got 07. No, 08. We're missing 08.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we don't have. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we don't have 08. It's just that we don't have any more bottles of 08.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 08 was a small crop. We sold, almost all of it. So we have a few magnums, but all the bottles are gone.
Oh, really? Okay. Quality-wise, what was the vintage like in 08?
It was more as a like classic. I would compare it like 06, probably a bit lighter than 06. Mm-hmm. But the well-known classic here is still very good to drink. Is the 04 that probably a lot of people have tasted. And 08 is probably 04 with plus.
Okay, so we're up to 07 now.
07, which is...
How would you define that year?
Well, 07 is certainly part of the most difficult year of all this range here. Mm-hmm. Well, because it rained a bit too much.
So dilution was an issue. What about mold and mildews, all that sort of thing? Or?
Well, all the rest we can... Of course, it's more difficult in a rainy year, but we manage to get to control it. And then we do everything we can in the vine in a difficult year to catch up. But, of course, everything can't be done.
Yeah, it does smell quite different as well. It's more of that red fruits, raspberries. type of fruit, rather than the sort of darker floral notes that you've got in the other wines.
Because it's also lighter, it's aging quicker.
Mm-hmm.
It has less that dark
blackcurrant, blackberry sort of flavors. Yeah, it's certainly the lightest in the mouth, isn't it? Still quite firm tannins, though. Does that imply that maybe the tannins didn't ripen as much?
Well, yes, they're not as ripe as, of course, as 09, but I mean, they're not overpowering tannins. Mm. They still have a nice grain to them. 07 is the lighter of the range there. Well, still very pleased with it because it have, for me, I really think it has a nice balance. And coming back to the varieties, 07 is the first year we raised up the percentage of Petit Verdot up to 10, and I think there's 11% in the 07. I'm pretty sure that Petit Verdot is helping the 07 today of keeping that nice, full. It's lighter than the others, but yep, it stays full in the structure and stays very balanced and stays even a bit young today.
Mm.
No, it'll go on developing complexity and catching up finesse and elegance. No, I think it's doing well.
I think for me, the only thing it's lacking is maybe a bit of fruit weight. And if you had a bit more fruit weight, that would balance out the slightly more.
Yeah.
The tannins aren't necessarily astringent, but they're closer to astringency than any of the other wines we've had,
mm-hmm,
in terms of the mouthfeel. And they're certainly a lot grippier. You know, I'm really feeling the grippiness throughout the mouth on your tannins. You're the winemaker. You can tell me. But it feels like there's a lack of fruit weight to balance it out. And if it had the fruit, then everything would be lovely.
Yeah. I think you must be getting hungry there.
Is that what it is? Maybe it is. It's probably about lunchtime. So.
No, I think, yeah, you're right. I mean, if it had, of course, yeah, if they had a more nice, fresh fruitness to it, it'd show more smoother, would more complete. But
it's still a nice
coming
one,
to consideration of the conditions. I mean, it's that right balance. It's gaining complexity. There's nothing wrong with it. I really think in that range of years, if I had to choose today a wine to drink on the meal today, I would certainly choose 07.
See, I would choose so far the 2011.
Yeah.
You know that it's gonna. You know it's gonna evolve. But for drinkability, that's quite nice.
Yeah,
so far.
We've been having very nice press on the 11. Now it has that fruitiness to it. It has that through meals that we had between us with my brothers, and we ended up with opening an 11. But each time I had it, I really think it's too young, and I don't appreciate it like I'm sure it will be. Tasting it on the tasting room is different to having it on the meal.
Yeah.
Tasting it in a tasting room, I mean, it has everything there to go through the aging properly and develop lovely complexity. But today on the meal, I think it's too young.
No, but an infanticide. Perfect. All right then, Ben, I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you very much, Chris.